Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mick Gillespie, who's on Twitter at Broadcaster Mick, is the voice of the Tennessee Smokies, and he is with us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. Mick, how's it going, man? How you been?
Hey, what do you say, guys? Good to talk to you. Been great. How about you?
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Although it has been kind of a chore to watch the Cubs over the last couple of weeks. Injuries and underperforming offenses and rotations and bullpens and whatnot. Wonder what you'd seen from Nico Horner, though, all season long. Obviously, an injury interrupted his 2019 campaign. But he is the top prospect of the organization. So encapsulate for me what his season has looked like.
Well, you know, when he has been playing, he's been really good. And he's got an ability to square up the baseball and hit the barrel, you know, on the ball or vice versa as well as anyone. And I saw all the guys come through, you know. So been in Tennessee for a long time, and we've seen a lot of great players, you know, Bryant, Baez, and Schwarber and all those guys. But Nico's a little bit different in his ability to make contact. His outs were impressive to me. You know, you'd look in the box score and it'd be an 0-for-4, and then being there and watching – you're talking about, you know, two line drives to second and then a line out to left, you know, where he's had great at bats. He's got an excellent two strike approach as well, where he's able to shorten up and go the other way. But I'll tell you what the most impressive thing to me happened in the beginning of the season. You don't have a lot of guys who were in college last year playing double A this year. You know, it just doesn't happen much. But he only played 13 games last year, too, because of an injury. And, you know, game two, he's out there captaining the defense, you know. I mean, like, here's a guy that's, you know, positioning players. He's just really smart. He knows the game, and he's kind of a quiet leader. I mean, he's, you know, he's not in the clubhouse yelling, but he just goes out on the field and just has this ability to make the players around him better. He's calm. And I really think that, you know, even though this is a really big jump, and I heard you guys talking about, you know, rushing guys to the big leagues and how it does stunt development. And I agree with that. And that may happen. I don't know. But I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed when he gets to the Cubs today.
Is he just a second baseman?
No. He's a shortstop, second baseman. They put him in center field after he came back from his injury, where he was hit on the hand by a pitch in late April. And it turned out to be a fracture. And it took a little while for the swelling to go down and the Cubs and their doctors to figure it out because they thought it was going to be a day-to-day thing. And when he came back, they started playing him in center field. And I got to tell you, I've never seen a player take over center field and look as good as he did, as quickly as he did. I mean, I think he took like two bad routes in the 10 games he played out there, you know, and he's got a strong arm. I mean, he was hosing guys out his second game in center.
That's so what I was going to ask, because if for a legit shortstop prospect, it's sometimes at the big league level, you got to show off that arm. And I know that we went through that like with Trey Turner, and I know he's not that kind of the elite athlete that Trey Turner is talking about toggling between center field and shortstop, but it's good to know that he won't be limited by arm strength.
No, he's got a great arm. You know, at the beginning of the year, I'm watching and I'm thinking, you know, Nico kind of lays back a little bit too much, you know, like ground balls. I mean, he's throwing everyone out, but they're close. And then it was like just over the course of the season, working with Jonathan Mota, who's the Cubs minor league fielding coordinator, he just kept getting better and better. And then all of a sudden it was like he's got this incredible internal clock, but just a little bit different positioning. And all of a sudden, you know, like you don't see it anymore. And that's, you know, really a testament to how good his game is, you know, where he's able to take advice and then go out and implement it out on the field. And I think what makes people smart is when you tell them something one time, you know, are they able to do it or not? And, you know, and Nico's certainly that guy.
Mick, what do his slumps look like? You know, when he gets into try, I know you mentioned some 0-for-4s with hard hit line drives and whatnot. And really at that level at double A, you're seeing some top tier pitching and you ought to be hitting fairly well if you're the kind of prospect that Horner is. But when he gets into trouble, what happens for him?
Well, first off, I mean, hitting-wise in Double-A in the Southern League this year, it's been as bad all the way around as I ever remember. And I don't remember a year where we had less prospects, you know, and I hope it's not a trend, but I feel like we've kind of been going down each and every year. But Nico never had a slump. You know, as a matter of fact, he was on base like 27 straight times to end the season and had five straight multi-hit games right at the end of the year. But the thing that we talked about was even when he struggled a little bit, it'd be 0-for-3 on Monday and then 1-for-3 or 1-for-4 on Tuesday. He never went two games without a hit, you know. So I'm not sure, and I'm it's going to happen at some point, but I'm not sure what it looks like when Nico's in a slump. Even when he was, you know, coming back from his hand injury and it was a little bit slow as far as him kind of getting the hits, the contact was there, you know. And there's so many strikeouts in the game now at the major league level and all the way through, you know, the minor leagues. But Nico makes contact, and he makes solid contact. And I just feel like, and I talked to him the last game of the season, you know, for a few minutes, and we're talking about his season, and I thought that this was a possibility if he would have been healthy all year. And the things that I said to him that were impressive to me were, first off, for a guy that's 22 years old and the youngest guy on the team, how much respect his teammates have for him. You know, you don't hear one person say a bad thing about Nico. And it's because of his work ethic and the fact that he makes everyone better, you know, and his ego's in check. You know, you wouldn't even know he's a first-round pick if, you know, you weren't in this stuff like we are. And then on top of that, you feel like with him that if he was on any team at any level, you're going to put him in his spot, you're going to pencil his name in like Joe's going to do today, hopefully, or tomorrow, and then you just put him in there. You know, he's got that Cal Ripken consistency. You know, and I'm not talking about playing every game, but, you know, when Cal or even Rhino, you know, I told him that he reminded me of a young Ryan Sandberg, because I really feel like as Nico gets bigger and stronger like Rhino did when he was a young player. Remember, Rhino didn't hit a bunch of home runs. He didn't have much power at all. And he told me that, you know, he's at Wrigley and they're telling him to, you know, they want him to hit the tarp during BP. You know, they wanted him to pull the ball and hit the tarp so that in the games, you know, he's more pulled. And he's hitting home runs, and it paid off. I just feel like Nico's got that big, strong body, you know, broad shoulders like Rhino, consistent like Rhino. I think that potentially the power is going to come, but the consistency is there. And if you're going to play at the major league level, the biggest thing that you have to do is be able to go out and give the team defense. And he's going to be better at shortstop than any other option they have.
That's some tall timber there, mentioning a couple Hall of Famers as we get the scouting report on Nico Horner from Tennessee Smokies voice Mick Gillespie here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on the Score. All right, you're a major league pitcher with major league stuff tasked with getting him out. What's your plan?
Yeah, well, that's something that we talk about every day in the booth, you know, on different players. You know, Nico's really tough because it's not like there's a glaring weakness that you see in other guys, you know, like Luis Robert. I'll give you an example. We played Luis Robert, and, you know, if you throw sliders away, changeups away, and fastballs in and stay ahead of him, you can get him out. You know, and he's the best player in minor league baseball. Nico doesn't have that glaring, okay, yeah, I'm going to throw him a high fastball outside, and he's not going to be able to hit it. At least I didn't see that. And then I talked to scouts, and they've kind of felt the same way I did. And it's because he's able to make such great contact. You know, so I don't think he has that one thing that stands out. I mean, he's like any other hitter. You know, if he chases bad pitches, that he's going to get out. But
that's,
I didn't see a lot of that. yeah, right. I mean, he's going to be a good fit, I think.
Because they've struggled with it. They've struggled with that. The fashion in baseball now, the high fastball tunneled up with the curveball that is right in that same spot. And that's how major leaguers, outside of getting guys chasing slop, it's that. It's showing him that high pitch and making it look hittable when it's really, really tough to hit. If his bat to ball is what you say it is, maybe they've got something that's going to at least get into a pitch count.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at how baseball is these days. You know, everyone wants to have that uppercut swing and they want to get elevation. But Nico's a throwback. You know, he's a line drive guy who makes contact and then, you know, and does all the other things well. You know, you look at other players that have come up and have been rushed up to the big leagues. And then you see the other aspects of their games, and we've seen it with the Cubs with different guys, and then you're like, what's he doing on the bases, or you know, what kind of route is that to the ball in the outfield, or, you know, does this guy even know what the count is right now, because that swing doesn't really, you know, match what the situation is. But what you're going to really like about Nico, and I don't know how this is going to affect his future, honestly. I mean, you always have to worry when a player is in the big leagues, maybe before they're totally ready. But what you're going to like about him is the intelligence that it takes to be a great baseball player, You see it with Chris Bryant and Javi Baez. Nico's the same way. The IQ out there on the field is off the charts.
So the Cubs are going to have to talk a little bit about whether this is a desperation call-up or something that's just a necessity. Obviously, he gets hit in the wrist, that kind of thing. Spend some time on the disabled list and the injured list, pardon. And you have to wonder whether or not it was in the cards for Nico Hoerner to go up to AAA and maybe make a September roster. Every now and again in AA, you start to see those conversations change a little bit. You see an extra guy from the organization come around, maybe talk to that guy some when they're leading up to a call-up. If he doesn't get hurt, do you think that the potential exists for him to make Major League Baseball this year?
Well, I think if he wouldn't have gotten hurt and his season would have gone the way that it went here, I think he would have ended up in AAA and probably been a call-up. I think that's what the Cubs kind of had in mind for him. I mean, you know, one of the reasons that they drafted him, from what I was told, was that they like his maturity and the fact that they feel really comfortable with his ability to go to different environments and still play well. You know, one scout was talking about watching him play, I think it was in Austin, Texas, when he was at Stanford. And, you know, he just shows up and it's like, you know, crazy atmosphere and it's just nuts in college. And it could be a lot like, you know, playing at Wrigley smaller, but, you know, they're really into it there. And Nico, just same thing, you know, gets his hits, gets on base, plays shortstop flawlessly. So I'm thinking that that's possible. I don't know, though. You know, I look at Kyle Schwarber and I really feel like he's kind of still, and even if he's having a great year, he's still scratching his potential. I mean, I think the guy could be batting 330 or 340, you know, just from what I saw here. And then, you know, he goes to the big leagues and he's a big power hitter now and he's still a great player. But, you know, to me, I just wonder, like, if he would have developed as a catcher. I think he was starting to become a good catcher, which he's not doing anymore. Obviously, it would have taken more time in the minor leagues. And then, you know, his ability at the plate, like he's for power, but I think he could still hit for average because I saw him do it, you know. And then I see Dan Vogelbach, who they traded, you know, and spent that time in the minor leagues. And Schwarber was a much better player than Vogelbach at this level. And now, you know, hitting wise, I mean, I think they're, you know, pretty much the same, you know. So I don't know. I mean, it's tougher to make those adjustments and learn all of that stuff in the big leagues. But with that said, the Cubs have a window to try to win. And Nico makes them a better team today, you know, and so that's what you do. You know, sometimes you throw away the development to try to win now, and I still think this team has a chance to get hot and make a run, and, you know, they have all the, you know, the parts it takes. It's been a frustrating couple of weeks, obviously, but, I mean, you know, hopefully he can go up there and help out.
Mick, any other names that we need to know, any other stories that have developed over this year, maybe a non-prospect who's become a prospect, maybe somebody who got into Pitch Lab and learned a little something that has got people paying closer attention than they otherwise would?
You know, there's a guy named Corey Abbott. He led the Southern League in strikeouts, and for the Smokies, it was the first time they had a pitcher lead the league in strikeouts since the since Chris Carpenter did it in like 97. And I think that he was maybe a Blue Jays prospect back then or something. I don't know, but it's been that long. Right. And so this guy comes in and, you know, we have all the trade talks and all the scouts are there and they're watching, you know, Lang and Hatch and all these, and the guys that got traded and, you know, and they say, well, what do you think? And I'm like, well, I like this guy, you know, he's a change up away from being a major force at the big league level. The guy pitches with a chip on the shoulder. I like that. I like the fact that he never gets intimidated. And then as the season progressed, he just kept getting stronger and stronger. He never missed a start. So he was the Cubs minor league pitcher of the month. And like I said, you know, he's got, you know, three pitches working on the fourth. The changeup's going to be the last thing for him when it comes. I mean, he's had success without it, but I think at the big league level, and he knows that you kind of have to have that changeup, but you know, the fastball is there. He's got the breaking ball, you know, and but he has the mentality. So I could see him being someone to really keep an eye on. And you turn around, and as he continues to work on that one pitch, he gets it. And maybe he doesn't, and he's pitching out of the bullpen. But I think he could be potentially a really good starter.
Mick, appreciate it. Thanks for the scouting report. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That is Mick Gillespie, the voice of the Tennessee Smokies. That's all you need to know right there. You want a scouting report on a new Cub? You got it.
So what I get from that is bat to ball is good. Powers, you know, maybe he's still 22 years old, and we'll see exactly how that plays. But fact of the matter is he's going to go play with a different baseball for the next couple of games. He gets 20 games to go play with that Super Bowl. He didn't go to AAA this year because of a couple of wrist injuries. They kind of hampered him some. say he played in Double A instead. That's who knows?
Here's something to watch for. Watch for him making really good contact with a fastball,
yeah,
busting his ass out of the box, chugging down to first base, and looking up and seeing his 10 rows gone.
It's a Jeremy Brown thing, right? He falls over at first base, and he doesn't know that he's hit a home run.
That kind of thing has been happening. That was, you know, Justin Turner said it happened to him when he first learned launch angle, and when that also coincided with the baseball, is that if things are going right, you're going to see him make solid contact and not realize that it's way out.
It is one way or another, whether it works, it doesn't. And I disagree a little bit with the idea that it's solely and only post hoc ergo propter hoc. Like, this kid will come up earlier than intended. He will play Major League Baseball. We have seen that kind of exposure setback prospects before.
Setback, but I don't know that I buy necessarily ruins. Well, he would have been fine had they not.
Listen, we did this with Gordon Beckham for a little while. I don't know one way or another whether or not things would have changed had he not played Major League Baseball when he did, or come up that early, or what have you. But, you know, this is yet another prospect, a first rounder that will come up earlier and whose development, although given the injury situation, it sounds like he's going to play a whole lot at shortstop. I don't know whether kind of options Joe's going to have playing short, but they'll sacrifice a little bit of development for wins at the big league level.
We've got Joe Sheehan, who had to move things around a little bit this week. He is going to join us just after a break. We'll get his thoughts on where the Cubs are, what this race looks like, what the Hoarder call-up means, and why Dave Dombrowski got fired. There's plenty of stuff to discuss with him. Baseball talk continues next on The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.